News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
7 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. She's the director of nursing at USA Health, and she is Natalie Fox, and she joins us every Monday, or has been for the past month or so, on Mobile Mornings. Good morning, Natalie.
Good morning, Dan and Dalton.
So let's just kind of reset it right here. It's been a week since we've talked. What has changed? Where are the numbers? What are you seeing?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, one of these days, I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to do this call at 8 and we're not going to talk about COVID. What we've kind of seen across Mobile and Baldwin is that we still have some of the highest rates across our state. Hospitalizations from the Mobile County Health Department report at the end of last week did show a slight decrease. And our infection rate also went down slightly with the number of infections. Our positive test rate, though, is still around 30%. We've seen some increase in vaccination. So we're around 45% in Mobile County of people who have received one vaccine. And if you remember when we started this, we were sitting in the 30 percentile range. You know, locally, what we've seen in vaccine uptake is, yes, we are still having a trickling of people come through for their first dose or finish out their series. But in the past week, like we talked about last week, with the release of a booster for those immunocompromised, we did see a big uptake in those coming to get that third booster shot that met the CDC's criteria for immunocompromised.
Natalie, continue.
I was just going to say, you know, with some of that news of our, you know, the end of last week, the data trending in the right direction, at least not in the wrong, it's just no time for us to put our guard down. We still need to be very vigilant, and because we are not out of the woods by any means. And so masking, distancing, and vaccine, and I know we'll talk about several other things today, too.
Yeah, and let's talk about the vaccine, because last week a couple major competing studies, I think one released by the Wall Street Journal and one from the New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal report saying that actually these breakthrough vaccine cases are still very, very rare. Meanwhile, the New York Times study, I think, said about 20% of those vaccinated were having breakthrough cases. What do we know or not know about those that are vaccinated who are testing positive? Is it less, worse for them, or what all can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we are seeing more breakthrough cases in our area, but it's not surprising with the amount of prevalence of the disease in our area. One other thing that we are seeing, and we'll talk about in just a second, is that, you know, there's been some evidence released last week of the protection maybe, you know, waning off a little bit after about 6 to 8 months after you've been fully vaccinated. One thing I can say with that you pointed out by pointing out some discrepancies in studies is this is something that all clinicians and healthcare professionals learn about a lot about, and that's how to evaluate the research. And so, you know, there's always been, since the history of time, studies that came out and say different things. But this is why it's really important that we look to the, you know, the big bodies that kind of look at the evidence as a whole, you know, look at the credibility of the study, look at the sample size before we make any rash decisions. And so, you know, there's a couple things going on the vaccine front in addition to the booster for immunocompromised people, for anybody that received an mRNA vaccine. So those are the Moderna and Pfizer, 28 days after their second shot, because they are clear evidence from big, credible studies that it really boosted their immune response and gave them better protection. But one thing we're kind of looking at for this week, and there's been kind of different posts about this, different media leaks, is the full approval of the Pfizer vaccine. The meaning no longer being used under an emergency authorization use or emergency use authorization, but instead having full approval. And, you know, that has big benefits.
So just getting back to the where the vaccinations are now, for instance, somebody who got the vaccine early on because they were in that grouping of people, either elderly or in a nursing home or a medical professional, got that vaccine in January, you'd be about on time to get that third booster shot, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So the first people here at USA Health who received their, and we were right on the forefront of this in our community, who received their second booster was around January 5th. So that would mean September, you know, that September 5th would be that 8-month mark for them. So definitely just right around the corner. And what we're kind of expecting is that's going to become part of the recommendations because, again, that early evidence that's coming out, that's going through the really rigorous process of is it need evidence-based practice guidelines is what they're still going through, and but we're expecting to see, you know, probably a booster needed 6 to 8 months after your second shot.
Natalie Fox is the director of nursing for USA Health.
Natalie, let's talk about something on a lot of people's mind as school has gotten started here the last few weeks. And personally, we've already had to quarantine with our youngest for a couple weeks as someone related to the class, I guess, tested positive or something. So that, a lot of people going through that again, having to stay home with their children and work from home. How pervasive is the Delta variant in our youth, and how deadly has it been? Have we seen, how bad has it been, I guess I should say?
Yeah, so we continue to see increased hospitalizations in pediatric patients. As of yesterday, we had 17 pediatric patients in our hospital with COVID. Six of those were in our pediatric intensive care unit, and two of those were on the ventilator. So that two on the ventilator is a much better picture than what we talked about a couple weeks ago when we had six. But still, that's still too many for me, right? Like, this is preventable, and we should be able to do something. We are expecting to continue to see pediatric cases with schools back in session. One thing I really wanted to talk about and what we see in some of these hospitalizations is something called MISC. Mm-hmm. And what that stands for is multi-inflammatory syndrome in children. And this happens about 2 to 4 weeks after the child actually has COVID. And some parents might not even know the child had COVID. You know, so many kids get runny noses or things like that. It's just kind of part of life for a kid in daycare or in school. And so it might not have been some big viral illness that your child had. And about 2 to 4 weeks after the initial infection resolves, we're seeing a syndrome or a group of signs and symptoms, essentially, which is showing that your own immune system is kind of attacking itself. And those symptoms range from, you know, fever, skin manifestations such as rash, GI things such as diarrhea, red eyes. And, you know, those are things that we want to make sure that the public is aware of to be aware and in their kids, because that does usually require hospitalizations to manage. And that includes certain medications and fluids. And, you know, again, we're expecting to continue to see an uptick of that. And we are right now, right as well.
Yeah, and, you know, early on in the pandemic, I remember hearing of that inflammatory syndrome in adults as well. But with children, it seems, I don't know, more likely to happen, maybe because their immune systems are still growing. Is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there have been some rare reports of it happening in an adult. But kids already kind of had a syndrome like this, but it was a lot more rare. And people might have heard of it called Kawasaki's disease. And just to kind of give you some idea, you know, in our pediatric children's hospital, we might have saw like one case of that a month, maybe a few more clustered around the winter months when there's more viral illnesses. And it typically affected those younger than five. But again, pretty rare. As a pediatric nurse practitioner, you know, practicing for 10 years, I only saw just quite a handful over those 10 years that kind of presented to us in clinic. What we're seeing with COVID, or the multi-inflammatory syndrome in children after a child's had COVID, is a little more prevalent than that. So we've had around 50 cases so far in our children's hospital. And again, we're expecting those to rise with this increased surge of the Delta variant that we've seen in our community. And, you know, the age range typically on this is around the school age child, but it doesn't mean that we're not seeing very young children and then some older teenagers also get it. And so, you know, this is a treatable, that's why it's important that it's early recognized so your child can get services. But it does require extensive follow-up, because essentially it affects your end organs and things like your liver, your kidneys, your heart. And the most common thing we're seeing with kids is, you know, still having to have very close follow-up with a cardiologist because they still have some of that lingering inflammation in their heart. And so, again, something we definitely want to prevent in children as much as possible. And the way to do that is, again, masking, social distancing, hand hygiene, and the age-old one we've talked about over and over again for prevention, which is vaccines for anybody over 12. And this is, again, really important why parents, grandparents, all those who interact with our children who are under 12 cannot be vaccinated, to provide them that protection.
And Natalie, is the Delta variant being treated differently than the virus at any other point in this pandemic?
So as far as treated differently, I think that there's a little bit more ability to say that we are seeing these patients get a little bit sicker as far as the timeline that they're getting sicker, you know, and the actual presentation. We're seeing it in younger, healthy people. And so maybe before, you know, there wasn't as much thought that somebody who was previously healthy was going to have any type of long-term sequelae or need hospitalization. That's not necessarily true. I'll say that the other thing that's gotten really popular, and we seem to have a need that is all of our communities are trying to meet, is the monoclonal infusion. And so we do know what monoclonal antibodies are, essentially a man-made antibody that will go in and help you fight that infection as long as you get it early on in your disease process of after you've gotten COVID. And we are seeing that that's helping to prevent hospitalizations and death. But again, limited resources to be able to give those infusions, and we're trying to work up the ability to offer more infusions. And I think that, you know, over the course, all the hospitals last winter had stood up these infusion sites for their patients that they served. And then the numbers just dwindled for all of us in June, and then quickly needed to get those infusions back going, which all the area hospitals have at this point.
And I've talked to a couple people who credit the antibodies treatment for speeding their recovery up in a major way. Yeah, some good news, or at least I would think some good news, as former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb made the media rounds this weekend. And Natalie, he thinks that the South right now is peaking with this wave of COVID. Using your numbers, does it seem that might be the case? Or what do you think?
Yeah, and that's kind of like that early glimpse I showed you from, talked of a little bit about in the data at the end of last week. And I'm going to tell you, we need this to be the peak. Our healthcare systems are still taxed. They're still strained. And as we've talked about, you know, that doesn't just affect our ability to provide care for COVID patients. It affects all of your area hospitals and healthcare professionals to be able to provide care for any patient. So I hope he's right. We need that hope.
And Natalie, one more time on the vaccination numbers. You were saying that we're in the area of 30% vaccinated, and now in maybe 6 weeks' time up to 45%. Have I got that right?
With one dose, yeah. That's the latest statistics out.
Okay, and that's Mobile County.
That's Mobile County, correct.
And of course, vaccinations, you can let everybody know where you guys are and how these continue.
Yeah, so we're at the Mobile Civic Center Arena. You can make an appointment to come get your vaccine with us at usahealthvaccines.com. We have first, second, and third shots available. Those third shots right now are just for those immunocompromised, but we are closely following for the FDA's full approval of the vaccine, which will allow clinicians to make judgments on things such as booster shots off-label by weighing the risk and benefits for patients. I also just want to say, if you are pregnant or, you know, have been considering vaccination, now is the time. We are seeing more and more reports of pregnant women being adversely affected by COVID. And, you know, don't delay vaccination. The evidence is clear that the benefits of the vaccine highly outweigh the risk of getting COVID while you're pregnant.
Natalie Fox, USA Health. Thank you again, Natalie. And hopefully our conversations will begin to be a little brighter as time goes on. Maybe those numbers do, in fact, peak and start going down.
Yeah, so we'll catch up next Monday and talk about that.
Thank you, Natalie.
Natalie Fox, Chief Nursing Officer of USA Health, and coming to your calls and text. And we got a voicemail to play as well, 343-0106.
Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:25. Text line 343-0106. You can also use that same phone number if you want to call us for sure, 343-0106. Speaking of which, Steve is on the line from Mobile. Good morning, Steve. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Morning.
I just want to make a point about the current situation with the COVID and with all the rhetoric. Unfortunately, we won't be able to touch on the main subject. It would take all week to do it. But the one point on Tractor Time this weekend, as you're listening to y'all's show, there was an advertisement from the health department talking about getting a vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, once you get your vaccination, you'll no longer need to wear your mask. You can go see grandma. But this is a point I want to stress hard to everybody. And everybody's going to argue the facts. Vaccinated or unvaccinated, we still all share the same chance of spreading it.
Mm-hmm.
And so people need to keep that in mind, whether you're vaccinated or not. When you go around people, we had somebody at a party a week ago that, you know, tells everybody standing in the little crowd that, don't hug me, my wife's at home with COVID. He had no business being there.
Mm.
And he thought because he was vaccinated, he was bulletproof. And that's the biggest thing. The bottom line is nobody truly knows what's going on.
Right.
This is truly a test. You got to remember, this vaccination started out at 98%. Pfizer is now down to 42% efficiency. And one other point. You'll call your insurer and ask them, Should you mandate or offer an incentive to an employee? I'm not going to tell you the answer. If you're an employee, check it out yourself. And then the last fact, look at Israel, 86% vaccinated.
Right.
One of the major breakouts everywhere because these people thought they was bulletproof. They got vaccinated. They run out and did what they did. And
so you're talking about behavior, just behavior, if you're vaccinated or not.
Exactly.
Responsibility.
We all, you know, and you still got treated. I still do. You know, you go in wherever you go, put your mask on. Is the mask work? Who knows? I don't know. I hate doing it.
Right.
But I still do it now. Because I don't know.
Go ahead.
He was at the party the other night. This other guy watched it, told the other guy, he said, yeah, that guy was talking to you. I watched a droplet go in your mouth. That's infuriating. I mean, it's just, you know, you don't know. And yeah. Like I said, because this guy was vaccinated, he thought he could be there, even though his wife's home currently with COVID.
Yeah, and the vaccinated, and thank you for the call there, Steve. That seems to be, you know, from all personal stories I've seen, that seems to be the case, and the studies are coming out here. You start with, the sports teams who have been vaccinated. I think they are a great study because they kept getting tested even after being vaccinated. And it started when the Yankees, the entire team was vaccinated, and a number of them tested positive. And you're seeing it throughout the collegiate and NFL ranks now, vaccinated people catching the virus. Stories from even here where we've heard of people, not inside the studio, but people that are known by people at FM Talk 106.5 who've been vaccinated and have caught the virus. So just anecdotally, it does seem like the people who are vaccinated are still able to spread the virus. And is that because at this point that it's, a two-year-old vaccine? That's kind of when production began. Someone else pointed out, you know, this is a lot more like the flu than polio, for instance, and that maybe, you know, there's time for an update to the vaccines to maybe try to catch some of these new variants that are coming out there. But regarding what has been said to people, you know, get vaccinated, then you can go out and live your life again, get vaccinated, and then this. I mean, remember, we started with 15 days to stop the spread, and that was used as a carrot, right, to get people to get vaccinated. If you do this, then you can live a normal life again. Well, what happens if you keep telling people, if you do this, then you can do this? But whenever they do what you ask them to do, that ends up not being the case.
Well, you lose all...
They grow despondent, and then they don't want to do what you want them to do anymore.
You lose, you know, and we've seen it, losing the trust of the people.
So what Steve said, there's so much that we still don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe the leaders ought to admit that they don't know as much as they think they know, and we could all work a little more together.
I don't think they've got to admit it. I think it's clear.
Right.
We're looking at it. They don't know what they thought they knew. It's 8:30 at FM Talk 106.5.
836 FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for listening to Mobile Mornings on a Monday. And right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing good. And just about a week and a half left in the month of August. That means a good time if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle. Good time to get out the lot and check them out.
That's right. We got our, you know, it's going to be a little hot, so y'all can check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We've got some great deals online. Got some great-looking cars, too. Gene and Orlando and all of them putting them on the website and taking pictures. I think they downloaded a bunch day before yesterday on Saturday. We got them all cleaned up. I'm looking at the lot right now. It looks great. We got a bunch of pre-owned certified Yukons and Tahoes. So if you're looking for anything from, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20, we've got them. We got pickup trucks, got four-wheel drives. Hunting season's right around the corner. So we're going to have those four-wheel drives sitting out front. Don't forget, we're getting a few new cars in. Got some X31s, got a 384 three-quarter tons coming in. So y'all can check all that stuff out. Like I said, McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions, call us at 251-476-4141.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Dan and Dalton, going to shift gears here in a little bit here in just a moment, but a little bit more on COVID-19 from the text line. The texter says, I had my vaccination in February and March. I wear masks every day because I deliver to medical facilities. I got clear with 3 weeks ago.
I think I got COVID.
I got COVID three weeks ago.
The voice to text faltering.
Oh, that's
again.
What's going on here. Okay. Yeah. I got COVID 3 weeks ago and pneumonia and on day one. The doctor said if I did not have the vaccination, my lungs would have shut down. I'm negative now, back to work, but never been this weak. So COVID gave him a good shot, mm-hmm. and that's another thing that we're hearing anecdotally, and some of the quote-unquote experts are passing along as well, that the vaccination, if it doesn't stop it, it's going to give you a better chance to get through it.
Here's one from Don, left us a voicemail this morning.
Good morning, Dan and Dalton, everybody. Just want to encourage everybody, if you're thinking about getting the vaccine, to do so. I had the Johnson & Johnson shot back in April of this year. I'm 60 years old. Last Friday, I was diagnosed with the COVID-19 Delta variant. This is some serious stuff, folks. I am currently on my way to Providence emergency room to have the monoclonal antibody infusion because I have underlying health conditions. Well, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, and you become your own worst enemy when you don't listen to your body, you don't listen to your friends and your family. No matter what your age, if you're able, get the damn vaccine, please. This is serious stuff, man. Y'all be safe.
So there you go. Another story there. And both of those, the texter and the voicemail, said that they were vaccinated mm-hmm. and caught it, but both also saying that it would have been, you know, worse if they hadn't. And I want to get to a couple studies here also in just a minute, and it'll be right after this text from Alan, which is interesting given what I'm hopefully about to lay out. Alan said, for every medical paper written on a given subject, there's another paper debunking the first on a given medical subject. Please try to imagine what hospital RNs have to deal with mentally and professionally with the many physicians they work for in-house. Further, please look at a description of RN college courses and the amount of reading necessary for them in a 2-year course to keep up with the physicians over 8 years of college. Alan said, please get the vaccine. Proper wearing of masks and sanitation will help. We need to work together. And I can't imagine what it must be like to work in a hospital over this last year and a half, whether as a nurse or a doctor or someone else that works there and around so many patients, because, I mean, on our level, we've seen so many disagreements and hot tempers regarding COVID and regarding the vaccination. What's it like there? Yeah, under fire.
Yeah.
I think that's a great text, Alan, but that's part of the problem, right? Is you have studies that keep coming out and disagree with each other, and anyone can basically point to a source that they've read and say, well, I saw this, and it came from a notable source, because mm-hmm. it's not just, you know, little bitty websites no one's ever heard of. You have some big studies coming out that are contradictory in many cases.
You had one about the mask today.
Yeah, and this is upsets of people. I'm surprised because this is from a study from, it's AIP, the American Institute of Physics. Okay, so no slouch there.
Right.
The studying of this, and what they did was look at the effectiveness of masks and the different kinds of masks. And, you know, we've been talking about this for well over a year now. We always have people that call in and say, well, even with the N95, the microns are too small and can get through that. And we've basically known from the beginning that those cloth masks are nearly useless.
Mm-hmm.
But you keep seeing, now at schools, you keep seeing people mandate the wearing of masks. It's almost like the first thing they do now, like shutting the doors at a bank when there's a robbery. They just say, all right, masks on. We don't know what's about to happen. So this study shows a standard surgical and 3-ply cloth mask a filter at apparent efficiencies of 12.4% and 9.8% respectively. So your standard surgical mask, what they found in the study, was that it was 12.4% effective at stopping the virus. 3-ply cloth masks, 9.8% effective. The N95 and KN95 masks, according to the study, if you're going to wear masks, they are the ones to wear, but it's not 100% or even close with either of them. They say that N95 masks are 60% efficient at filtering, and KN95, 46% efficient at filtering the virus. And the way they studied this was some kind of like, you could see images on the story, and I grabbed this one from NewYorkPost.com, who I think republished it from the journal Physics of Fluids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always checking out that journal. And they took basically images of people. I don't know if it was UV light or what exactly, but they were able to have these masks on, and that's how they studied how efficient they were at working. So they really, if you go and tell someone that wearing the cloth mask is basically useless, I mean, you're almost right. They're 10% effective at slowing down the virus, but then other people would argue, well, that 10% is better than 0%, mm-hmm. which would be if you're not wearing the mask. So that's one study I wanted to point to. Another one here regarding all of these plastic barriers that began popping up pretty much immediately.
Well, banks already had them, but grocery stores?
Yeah, grocery stores. Okay. Pretty much anywhere now has these plastic barriers. And here's the headline. Plastic shields were once thought to be effective in stopping the spread of COVID-19, but a new study says they may actually make things worse.
How?
Dr. Purvi Parikh is an immunologist at NYU. Said initially we thought the plastic barriers would be helpful, but what we're now learning is that they might actually block air from ventilating and flowing freely. And they say that is actually the better formula for catching a respiratory illness, is to have it all bouncing around, right? The new theory suggests in some cases the shields can cause dead air, spaces where it is not circulating, and that could make the viral load rise and leave the area concentrated with COVID-19. This study was led by researchers from Johns Hopkins University, showed that desk screens in classrooms were associated with an increased risk of coronavirus infection.
Wow. How about this shield, the personal shield that you can wear? Did they
write on your face?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
any mention of that?
I guess you're only taking in what you're expelling there, unless somebody else's aerosols are able to, you know, sneak up under your mask. But I'm not sure. I don't think they included that in the study. Okay. Just the plastic barriers that you now see in front of different storefronts.
I see them all over the place, that's for sure, and more and more. And that was one of the adjustments that was recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there we go again, right? Where how long would that conversation be if the experts came out to say, you know what, I was here in Dalton, and as it turns out, I have an apology to make here because X is not quite right. I remember when we said Y. Probably the opposite is true. Sorry.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'll say it again. I don't know if I have to keep saying this. I'm not a scientist, and I don't study studies. So I'm just putting out there what's coming into me and letting you know what I'm seeing as well. So, I don't know. Take with that what you will.
343-0106. Text or call. We got some big news for you at 851. That is the Mobile County has now got the brand new messaging alert system. You can sign up to get alerts real easy. Text Mobile Alert, that's one word, to 226-787. This was a purchase of the Mobile County Communications District 911 Board. It's available to all public entities who would like to communicate with the community quickly. You can also create your own personal profile. It can contain emergency alerts and health and medical information and household information. And once you're signed up, you get alerts like weather updates and road closures and extreme traffic backups and first responder activity in your area, even parade information during Mardi Gras. And you're not going to get spammed either. That's not going to come. Nothing commercial or political is going to come on down that system. It's brand new. The new Mobile County Messaging Alert System. Text Mobile Alert, one word, to 226-787 and sign up today.
Get looking at the text line here. Unnamed texter said the study, I think he's talking about the mask study I referenced there. The study only looked at 15 minutes, did not look at effectiveness over 8 hours like we're doing at school. The homemade masks are not 3-ply. The study I was referencing, they say that it was a 10-hour study, that they put a mannequin in there, and how would you love to be the test mannequin for the COVID aerosols. Mm-hmm. They put a mannequin in there, and then they said 2 meters from the subject, and then captured the buildup of the, I guess, aerosol from the person over 10 hours. So it was a 10-hour study, not a 15-minute study. And those numbers that I rolled out earlier, again, KN95, 46% effective, N95, 60%, cloth mask 10% and surgical mask 12% effective. So some numbers we're looking at. And then Jace pointed to something we've kind of been talking about a little bit today. I didn't know the man well, but Sam Schott, they said, passed away at 36, which I've seen more and more stories these last few weeks of 30 to 40-year-olds passing away from the virus.
Sam worked with Alabama Power. He also was a he was busy in the Republican Party. Maybe, you know, I think he was some sort of manager for Alabama Power, and they put him in an outpost up to Monroeville for some sort of project up there. I knew he went into the hospital in Monroeville. I don't know if he stayed in the hospital up there or if he was transferred down and was given assistance from here in Mobile. I don't know, but that is a shame, and I'm quite sure that I have met Sam a time or two. Looking at his picture on Facebook, and Sean knew him pretty well too. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's a terrible loss.
36, yeah. But enough about all that. Some pretty dark stuff there. It's been a dark day, actually. Not surprising, I guess I should say. And why don't we look a little bit of the hypocrisy? Did you see Pelosi and Schumer this weekend at all?
I think I saw a story that pointed to the hypocrisy you're going to speak on here.
So, you know, as Biden is going through it right now, mm-hmm. with the withdrawal in Afghanistan, his approval numbers absolutely circling the toilet bowl, mm-hmm. With the rise in COVID, you got Trump hitting at him on both angles, and you have Pelosi and Schumer trying to get this infrastructure bill through Congress, and at the same time they're raising money for midterms, Dan. So Schumer was at this big concert that they had planned for, I believe, Friday night, and it was supposed to be a getting back to normal concert, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was charity, you know how they do in New York with some of these. And so it was a charity concert, and I think
kind of a mistimed getting back to normal concert, isn't it?
It was, yeah, bad timing. there's another rash of COVID cases. Plus, the weather was terrible Friday night. So
they only had a hurricane coming in.
And I think CNN was the one who put this on. I didn't watch it, but they said awkward hours of Anderson Cooper just trying to fill dead air with the people that were supposed to be playing music that night.
They're not here.
There's video, though, of Schumer dancing.
Oh, Lord.
And Stephen Colbert is there as well. And, I mean, just the awkwardness of it all. And it really is a kind of let-them-eat-cake kind of situation, yeah. Where he's dancing as New York is burning to mm-hmm. the ground. Mm-hmm. And then you had Nancy Pelosi, who was back in her home state of California. She was in the Napa Valley for a fundraising event that I think we could all afford and identify with. They said for a chair. I don't know if this means to buy a seat at the table for this dinner over the weekend, but it was $29,000 donation.
Wow.
For a chair.
To get in.
$10,000 as a host. See, again, I'm so far out of the loop, I don't even know what these things are. $5,000 for the supporter fund, $1,000 and you're a friend of Pelosi, $250 and you're just a guest, and then if you just want a ticket, I don't know if they stick you way back in the woods, but that's $100.
How much to be an enemy? We're
free.
That cost
rent
me.
Is free for their enemies. But what they show is, dozens and dozens of people sitting along these tables in the Napa Valley, a lot of white faces,
mm-hmm.
and absolutely none of them masked.
Wow.
It's Pelosi's fundraiser.
An indoor event?
It was outdoors.
Okay.
The only people wearing masks were the help.
Wow.
They were going around to the table. So even though, you know, they're going after the people that go to Sturgis, these SEC football games are going to get a lot of flack for people that aren't, you know, wearing masks out there. Just keep these things in mind. Remember, she had the mask mandate. They had the shutdown where you weren't allowed in San Francisco to go get your hair cut. And Nancy Pelosi, video of her walking around in a shutdown hair salon getting her hair cut.
Yes.
And now, as we go through it again, 1 year later, she's holding this huge Democrat fundraiser where the only people wearing masks were the servers.
That's ridiculous. All right, so Linda Blanchard. When's the last time we've actually heard from Linda Blanchard? She's a U.S. Senate hopeful. She was a Donald Trump appointee. Slovenia, must she be?
Yeah, she was the appointee to Slovenia.
So anyway, we haven't heard much from her. She was on the Jeff Poor Show for the first time couple of months back to the week she announced that mm-hmm. she was running against Mo Brooks. But really, she's been a little more of the candidates. Katie
Britt
has been pretty public,
mm-hmm.
and then of course You've got the other young lady who's the basketball player. She's been, I think she was at the rally.
And she was on with Jeff last week. Well, I don't think she was at the rally. Well, if she was, she wasn't on stage because that rally was all about Mo Brooks.
That's right. She was not at the rally.
Trump's
that was
Trump's endorsement of him.
Yeah, so maybe she wasn't at the rally. I take that back. But anyway, Linda's been the one that's been more quiet or silent this whole time. So she's a guest in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll see what she's up to.
Well, remember she hit Mo Brooks. She tried to go right of Mo Brooks and say that he was a liberal, right? Or something along those lines.
Well, she was saying that the people that donate to Mo Brooks and he's got dirty money behind
him.
That's
right.
And so why would you want this guy? I've got my own money. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm not going to be beholden to anybody once I'm in.
So we'll see what she has to say in that hour one. Also, Dale Jackson with WVNN will be on in hour two. State Auditor Jim Ziegler, hour three.
Running for governor or not.
Will he run? Won't he?
Will he announce today?
We'll find out in hour number three. And then Scott Buttram with the Trustful Tribune wrapping it up.
FM Talk 106.5, 859 with Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. Mobile Mornings again tomorrow starts at 6.